What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Fast and Furious season here on Cinematic Reviews. As always, I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases, beloved franchises like Fast and Furious, and even upcoming projects. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following it on all social media platforms. You can find all of those handles on either the Cinematic Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podchpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps the podcast out a lot, and I appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. Guys, they have a tank. Fast and Furious 6 is speeding your way.
This is what 100 million buys, huh? It wasn't that hard to find you, Toretto.
Wasn't hiding.
Last week, a team of highly coordinated drivers took down an entire military convoy.
You know Rio was my last job.
Oh, I know you didn't do it. But you're gonna help me take down the team that did.
And why is that, Hobbs?
I've been chasing this crew across 12 countries. This was taken a week ago.
It's impossible.
I need your help, Dom. I need your team.
How do I smell baby oil?
You keep running your pie hole, you're gonna smell an ass kicking.
You got the best crew in the world standing right in front of you. Give them a reason to stay.
Our target's Owen Shaw, former Spec Ops soldier. For years, they've been running jobs in Europe, but it's our most recent jobs that graduated them to a whole new level. Loss of life is unthinkable. I'm offering you a chance to make your family whole again.
You get us close to Letty and we'll get you Shaw. And you give us full pardons all the way around.
I can't promise you that.
That's the deal. Take it or leave it. Ride or die.
We're not dealing with cops. We're drug dealers. I've never seen this before.
This code you live by makes you predictable. And our line of work predictable means vulnerable. I can reach out and break you whenever I want.
You believe in ghosts?
Maybe the lady we once knew is gone.
You don't turn your back on them. Even when they do.
Guys, they got a tank.
Damn.
We talking vehicular warfare.
This is not what we do.
Fast and Furious 6 was released on May 24th, 2013. The film stars Vin Diesel as Dominic Toretto, Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor, Dwayne Johnson as Luke Hobbs, Luke Evans as Owen Shaw, and Michelle Rodriguez back as Letty Ortiz. The film was once again directed by Justin Lin, who is best known for Star Trek Beyond and a lot of the Fast and Furious installments. The film grossed over $788 million against an estimated budget of $160 million, making it the third highest installment of the franchise. Furious 7 is at number one with $1.5 billion, followed by The Fate of the Furious at $1.2 billion. The little boy watching the race between Dom and Letty on the double-decker bus was Justin Lin's son. He can also be seen during the vault sequence in Fast 5. Dwayne Johnson is referred to as three different Avengers throughout the film: Captain America, the Thor, and Samoan Thor. The tank sequence was originally going to be created with CGI, but Justin Lin insisted on doing it practically. Only a few enhancements were done during post-production. Following Paul Walker's death on November 30th, 2013, Universal announced that a portion of the Blu-ray and DVD sales of Fast and Furious 6 would be donated to Walker's charity, Reach Out Worldwide, and I will attach a link to that in today's episode description. About 100 cars were wrecked, crashed, or destroyed during filming. Originally conceived as two films, the first film was going to end with the tank sequence, and then the second film ending with the plane sequence. A leaked Super Bowl TV spot revealed that the title of the film was Furious 6, but the teaser poster and a TV spot later on showed that Fast and Furious 6 was the final title of the film. Justin Lin clarified that it was Universal's decision to promote the film as either Fast 6 or Furious 6. The official title is Fast and Furious 6. Now we'll talk about that more later on in the episode today. Two theater-sized units were used for post-production work, overseen both by Justin Lin. Jason Statham and David Tennant were considered for the role of Owen Shaw before it was given to Luke Evans. Statham, of course, would go on to play Owen's brother, Deckard Shaw, in the franchise. Statham can be seen in the post-credits sequence at the end of the film as the one who kills Han in Tokyo Drift. And then lastly, the scene where Brian tells Letty that everything that has happened to her is his fault is actually the first time in the entire series that the two characters talk directly to each other. So on last week's episode, I talked about how Fast and Furious 6 was my favorite installment for the longest time until Fast 5 took that top spot after a couple rewatches throughout the years. Fast 5 is still my favorite and the best of the franchise, but I really, really love Fast 6 also. I love the action, the characters. I love Luke Evans as the villain. I love the music. It's an awesome installment of the franchise. It's also where the franchise gets really, really ridiculous with the stunts. Fast 5 gets pretty ridiculous, you know, with the stunts of like the vault sequence and all that also. But Fast 6 cranks it up to an 11. We get the Toretto gang battling a tank. Dom flies through the air like Superman to catch Letty. The group takes down a giant ass plane with a couple of cables and cars. Dom crashes his car at the end of the film that should have pretty much killed him. I don't know how he survived that crash. The stunts, as you can tell, are insane in this film. And I mean that in a good way. I turn my brain off when it comes to these films because you have to, honestly. They're made to be ridiculous and stupid. By no means do I think they're Oscar-worthy films, but I think this is a very, very fun franchise to watch over and over again because of installments like Fast and Furious 6 and, of course, Fast 5. When you get to, you know, say, F9 and Fast X and Fate of the Furious, things start to not be so enjoyable because of the decisions that they end up making, and I'll touch on more of that during those episodes. Fast 6 and Furious 7 are honestly the last good installments of the franchise. After that, things just kind of go downhill really, really fast. But sticking with Fast and Furious 6 today. So the film centers around Dom and the rest of the Toretto gang being recruited by Dwayne Johnson's Luke Hobbs. I really, really like The Rock in this film. I honestly think he is a big highlight of the franchise as a whole. He recruits Dom and the rest of the team for a mission to take down Luke Evans, who plays mercenary slash terrorist Owen Shaw. I really, really like Luke Evans in this. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, villains of the franchise. It was really, really a cool decision to make his team kind of the quote-unquote doppelgangers of the Toretto gang. And I believe Roman even mentions that in the film, which was really cool. It was an awesome concept on paper, and I think the filmmakers did a pretty great job at executing it on film. Dom and Brian agreed to join Hobbs on this mission take down Owen Shaw after seeing a picture of Letty. Yeah, Letty is back, everyone. She somehow survived Fast 4 and is now working with Owen Shaw. She apparently lost her memory, so she was easily recruited and manipulated by Shaw. I have some thoughts about all this whole plotline thing here, but I'm going to save that for later on in the episode in one of the segments. So Dom once again gathers the team, as we normally do in these Fast and Furious movies. We have Giselle, played by Gal Gadot again. She is now in a pretty awesome relationship with Sun Kang's character Han. They are kind of roaming around Europe, and they eventually stop into, I believe, Tokyo, where they kind of seem to be settling down until they get that call from Dom and they have to go back into action. We also get Tej and Roman. They are enjoying the rich life as millionaires. Tej is a little more, charitable with his money. We get that really, really cool scene where he's taking money out of the ATM and he hooks up a device that allows the money to be shot out of the ATM for everyone to have. Roman, on the other hand, is also enjoying being a millionaire, but he is rocking it out on his private jet with a bunch of his lady friends headed for a fun, fun weekend until he gets the call from Dom as well. Hobbs is joined by Gina Carano as his number two since Elena is with Dom now. Elena kind of takes a back seat in this installment along with Mia, which makes sense because Mia and Brian are parents now. We get to see kind of the birth of their son Jack at the beginning of this film. Elena decides to stay back to protect Mia and baby Jack. So that's where Gina Carano comes in. She plays Riley, I believe is the character's name. She works with Hobbs and the team until it's revealed towards the end of the film that she is actually Owen Shaw's lady. I thought this was a pretty, pretty cool twist. I honestly didn't see it coming the first time I watched the film. It still holds up pretty well, actually. Gina Carano, of course, has been under fire the last few years for some of her social media posts, especially during season two of the Mandalorian series. She has basically been cast aside by fans of both franchises, but she's still making films today. Rumors have been circulating around about her returning to Star Wars, but I doubt she'll be going back to that franchise. She definitely won't be back for Fast and Furious 6, the Fast and Furious franchise as a whole, on the fact that she gets killed in the sixth film during the fight on that plane sequence at the end. Letty straight up shoots her with one of the harpoons that they use to take down the plane. I actually looked up the official name of that weapon because that's just how I am. I was really curious on what the actual name of it is. They use a Plummet AL-52 air launcher. This thing is badass. I just love the design of it. I love how it's used in the film. I love that scene when Roman is messing around with it after Tej installed the NAS tank to it. Roman fires it and the harpoon goes into the wall between Han and Dom as they're talking. It was really, really cool. So yeah, Gina Carano is dead after being shot with one of those things. There is no coming back from that. We really saw the harpoon actually hit her, and then she flew out of the plane like a rag doll. She will not be coming back in future installments. But yeah, I really love this film. It's very, very entertaining from start to finish. The action, the music, the characters, the jokes. We get more of Tej and Roman throwing jokes at each other, which is always hilarious. One of the highlights of the franchise for sure. I'm really, really excited to break down this film today. So let's take a quick break before diving into today's standout scenes. Check out the newly updated episodes on Cinemac Reviews. I'm talking about new music drops, episode artwork, and film trailers. The Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones seasons have been updated, along with various new release reaction episodes as well. So check out the newly updated Cinemac Reviews library today on your favorite podcast network. Check out new release reactions every week on the show. Each week I react to newest releases, either in theaters or on streaming. Next up, it's Gran Turismo, the latest video game to film adaptation. The film doesn't officially release until August 25th, but I was able to see the film a couple of weeks early, so I'll be giving my initial reaction to that along with my thoughts on the video game to film trend in Hollywood today. So check out new release reactions only on Cinemac Reviews. All right, it's time for some standout scenes. The first one on the list I have is Hobbs interrogating Owen Shaw's guy at Interpol. And I put interrogating in air quotes because Hobbs just straight up throws this guy around like a rag doll in this room. It was freaking crazy. Really showing how strong Dwayne Johnson is. And this guy that he's interrogating, who's a part of Shaw's crew, is not a small guy. I mean, this guy could honestly go toe-to-toe with The Rock in a fist fight. But Dwayne, you know, wanting to be the big guy in the room, just throws this guy around. He's throwing him against the ceiling, against the two-way mirror in there. He's throwing him into the table and the chairs and all that. It's just chaos in here, and it's just really, really cool. I really like the small detail in here where when Hobbs walks into the room, it looks from the back, it kind of looks like Vin Diesel. And I got to imagine that was on purpose to kind of throw the audience off. Like, hey, Dom and the crew are still at it. So Hobbs has to interrogate him, but the camera kind of turns around and it is not Vin Diesel. It is some other bald guy with a white t-shirt and jeans. So I thought that was an interesting choice. That really worked for me, especially when I first saw this. But yeah, this scene is crazy. Great way to open up the film here with showing how strong physically Luke Hobbs is. Then the next scene I have is Hobbs and Dom versus Owen Shaw. We get to see the really cool car that Owen Shaw drives, and I have it written down. It's called the Flip Car. This thing looks like a heavy-duty race car that was built out of piping and all this stuff. It was really, really cool. So they enact this kind of sting operation with the guy that Hobbs was beating around in the scene prior. They send him in into Shaw's hideout, wired, trying to get a confirmation that this is Owen Shaw, which he gives. He awkwardly shouts, Owen Shaw, as he's pointing, which I thought that was a weird moment there. I think they probably could have did that a little bit better. But what happens after is really cool. So Owen kind of insinuates to the guy that they are running another job. And then so he hands him a duffel bag full of cash to kind of as a payment from the last job and then up front for this job. But there's not just money in that duffel bag. There is a bomb in there because Owen Shaw knows that this guy is trying to flip and turn Owen Shaw over to Interpol. So he blows up along with the building. We get that really cool shot of Owen Shaw driving through his car and the pillars of the on-ramp just exploding as he passes them and collapsing on top of all the Interpol officers there who have kind of surrounded this building for the sting operation. So Hobbs and Dom jump into their vehicles and chase Shaw throughout London. At the same time, we get Brian and the rest of the team going after Shaw's crew, who is hitting Interpol because this whole sting operation that Hobbs tried to orchestrate is actually a diversion. The real job is Shaw's guys hitting Interpol. So that was really cool. So we get this really awesome street battle between the two teams. Brian and his team end up getting hit pretty hard. Shaw's crew shoots these like EMP devices onto their cars, which basically immobilizes their cars and sends them just flying through the air. Roman gets sent through this restaurant looking thing. Tej gets flipped over. Brian gets one on his, but he is smart enough to kind of run into this pole to knock his device off, so he's able to stay in the game. This all ends up going underneath this tunnel. One of those cool, if you guys ever been through one of these, those cool little tunnels where traffic goes through. This is where Brian gets taken out of the game. One of the members of Shaw's crew has a similar car to him. She has a flip car also, and she flips Brian through the air in this crazy sequence, and he's taking out as well. But yeah, this is really cool. This entire sequence ends with Dom chasing after Letty, and then she shoots him because she does not know who he is. So that was a pretty big moment in the film, for sure. The next scene I have written down is Hobbs and Tej putting the prick car dealer in his place. I really like this scene. It's kind of a break for the audience to kind of throw in some humor. But I think it worked really well. So Hobbs and Tej volunteer to well, really Tej volunteers and Hobbs goes with him to get cars for the mission. They need fast cars that are able to take down Shaw. So they go to this local auction place with these very, very expensive cars, and they are introduced to this car dealer who is a huge giant prick to them. He basically breaks them down to Hobbs being a military man who can't afford this stuff. And he looks at, takes one look at Tej and is like, he's not a basketball player. He's not a rapper. He clearly can't afford these cars either. But turns out Tej uses his magic of talking and persuasion and basically shows the prick dealer what's up. They end up buying all the cars and then also humiliating him at the same time by making him strip down and giving his clothes to Luke Hobbs, which is hilarious because The Rock is clearly not going to fit into this suit, but they assure the guy that, oh, he will fit in it. It's just a really, really fun and hilarious scene there. Moving on, then we have Roman, Han, Gina Carano chasing down Letty and some of Shaw's dude through the subway. One of the scenes that I've been looking forward to talking about since I started the season is the scene where Letty and Gina Carano go crashing down the stairwell. And I gotta imagine this was done practically, and it looked like it hurt a lot. Just they're going over the railings, going down every step. It was just crazy how they were able to shoot that sequence. It looked very, very painful. While those two are fighting, we have Roman and Han fighting one of the, I can't remember. I should have looked up all the guys' names from Shaw's crew, but he is the Asian guy. They end up fighting him in the middle of a crowded people in the subway. And they just get their asses handed to them. I love the moment where Han and Roman are kind of like fighting each other, like, no, you should go, no, you should go. And they both just get their asses whooped. It's great. Love this whole subway sequence here. Then we have Brian going into prison to speak with Braga. So Braga's name was brought up when they interrogated one of Shaw's guys. So Brian volunteers to go back to the States. And speak with Braga. He's able to do this with our little friend Stasiak. If you remember him from Fast Four, he is the one that Brian shoves his face into the wall and breaks his nose. Well, he gets a reminder of that because what does Brian do? He shoves his face into the wall of the prison and breaks his nose in order to gain some respect within the prison and to be able to get closer to Braga. So Brian gets a visit from Braga throughout the night, and then he ends up fighting all of his goons along with Braga and interrogates him by stabbing him in the leg with a shank. And it is revealed that Owen Shaw is a smart guy. Turns out that he has been funding Braga's cartel down in Mexico all this time. And then that is how he was able to meet Letty through Braga. And yeah, so there's just a huge connection between the two. Braga also states that if Owen Shaw wants you to get close, he's doing it for a reason, which kind of hints, gives Brian the sense of Owen Shaw is not to be trifled with. He has 20 steps planned 20 steps ahead of him, and they are honestly no match against him. So, but they are able to try to find a weakness in there through Braga. Next scene, we have Dom racing Letty in order to kind of try to spark some memory out of her or talk with her about their past. Glad to see some racing in here. Like I said in past episodes, the racing starts to get kind of scarce through these newer installments. But it's really cool to get some racing in this one. We have Dom up against Letty, really showing how skilled Letty is as a racer. But Dom ends up beating her, of course, because Dom is the best, as we all know. Then we get this little interaction between the two after the race where they're kind of comparing stars and scars on their body, and Vin Diesel is explaining how she got them all and then he's got some matching ones as well, and trying to break the wall and to bring back the old Letty and to get her to remember things, but it's just not quite working. But that was a really cool moment between those two characters. And then moving along, we have the Toretto gang fighting the tank on the highway in Spain. This is probably the big ridiculous stunt of the film, other than the plane one, which I'll talk about in a few moments. But this is the one that a lot of the trailers kind of hinted at. Crazy sequence. A lot of people die in here. Owen Shaw ends up getting his hands on a tank from a NATO base. And they just start wreaking havoc on this highway. They're killing civilians, crashing cars. So Dom and the crew take it upon themselves to try to stop this tank before anybody else gets hurt. Just a crazy car action in this. We got Brian jumping over across lanes. You got Roman trying to go up against his tank, and then he gets stuck in front of it and almost gets pummeled by it until he gets this bright idea to wrap a cable around the cannon part of the tank to try to stop it. He jumps onto Brian's car to get out of there, and they use Roman's Mustang as kind of an anchor to take out the tank, which launches Letty up into the air. And then we get this big moment where Vin Diesel gets this bright idea to crash his car into one of the guardrails, and he goes flying into the air, catches Letty in midair, and they crash into a car, saving their life and miraculously having no scratches on it. Apparently, that's a big rule in this franchise. If you crash into a car, you're okay. The car is like a cushion in this franchise. It sounds pretty ridiculous, but if you go back and watch, especially these newer installments like Fast 9, there's a scene there where John Cena crashes into a car and he's okay. This franchise treats crashing into cars like catching somebody with a mattress or a parachute. It's a safety net in this franchise, which is just ridiculous. But yeah, that's probably my favorite sequence in the movie, is this whole tank battle on this highway. So then after the tank is taken down, we get to the next scene where Shaw is under arrest by the NATO guys and Hobbs. He reveals that that he basically kidnapped Mia in order to break Dom to his knees and to allow him to complete his mission. It's a bargaining chip, basically. So they are forced to relinquish the chip, which is kind of the MacGuffin in the film, even though they don't really focus a whole lot on the MacGuffin in here, not like some other of the installments. But they need this computer chip that's apparently worth billions. It allows somebody to control basically an entire country and shut it down and just rule the world, basically. So that's kind of the MacGuffin of the film. They hand it over in order to save Mia, which causes a whole kerfuffle with the NATO guys because they are held at gunpoint by Hobbs. This is where Gina Carano is revealed to be working with Owen the entire time. I love the reason why I put this on the list is because of Brian's reaction when he calls Mia and she has been kidnapped. I love Paul Walker in this movie, in this franchise as a whole. I love him in this moment because you can see him. He calls Mia and he's kind of hesitant. All he says is Mia, hears a scream, and he just goes into a pit of rage. He starts wailing on Luke Evans, and he's so pissed off that his wife is now being kidnapped by this guy, and he's just furious. I love Paul Walker in this scene. On top of that, so I did during my research on this film, and I didn't know this until I did research for the podcast today. So apparently Brian and Mia get married at the end of this installment. There is no real mention of it ever. But yeah, it's in the research, I guess. So Brian and Mia actually get married. I've always been curious about that, if they were married in the rest of the franchises. And I guess it is true. They end up getting married at the end of this installment, which was really, really cool. And then the last scene I have is pretty much like the last 10-15 minutes of the film. This is where Dom and the guys take down this plane that Shaw and his crew are going to escape on with the chip. It starts off with this fight inside the plane. We get Dom versus Luke Evans. We get Hobbs versus, should have looked up his name, but he's just the big dude. And they go brawling back and forth. They're throwing punches. We get one of the coolest sequences that I've seen in this franchise where... So Dom beats the shit out of Owen Shaw, knocks him down, turns around, and he sees Hobbs getting attacked by the big boy. Vin Diesel gets this idea to lift him up in the air. The Rock comes jumping into the air and just body slamming him down with his arm. And it's, I don't know, how I think they actually did this. I think Vin Diesel actually let this guy up. And this dude is a big dude. He's got to be like 7 feet tall, 300 pounds easy. And Vin Diesel just lifts him up like he's nothing. And The Rock comes in slamming him down like a rag doll. It was a really, really cool sequence. This is also where Giselle, Gal Gadot, dies, saving Han. So Han, Giselle, Tej, and Roman are outside the plane trying to hook up these cables to bring down the plane. But they end up getting attacked by some of Shaw's guys who are in other cars, crashing into them, jumping around, throwing fists at each other, shooting at each other. It's pretty crazy of all the stuff that's going on in this one little area. Giselle ends up shooting one of the guys that's about to shoot Han. So she like kind of jumps off of one of the cars and shoots the dude in midair, and she goes flying on the runway. And it's pretty much insinuated that she did die. That would have been a pretty nasty fall. I'll save that for burning questions because I have some more thoughts on that. So after seeing Giselle died, Han just kind of like Brian in that scene where he finds out that Mia got kidnapped. Han just loses his shit. He just goes after the guy that killed Giselle, one of the other guys that was trying to kill him, and throws his ass into the turbine of the plane. It's a pretty gruesome scene, but I understand it. I mean, I probably would do the same thing if I saw my girlfriend just get killed for saving me. But yeah, that was a really, really ugly scene. Then we get, Brian and Mia back into the car. They're able to shoot the last cable to take the plane down, and all three cars just take this plane down with a bunch of cables. It's crazy how they did this. As a result of this, Owen Shaw ends up flying out of the plane when he tries to escape, and he is totally, he's not dead because we get him in Furious 7. If I spoiled that for anybody, I apologize. I mean, these movies have been out for quite a while, so if you haven't seen Furious 7, it's kind of your fault at this point. But yeah, so he did not die, which I'm just going to leave it there because I have some more Giselle's thoughts and I really want to talk about it, but I'm trying to save it for one of the segments coming up. But yeah, so that's pretty much the end of the movie. We get that scene where Dom drives a car out of the plane as it's crashing, and he does these like 20 flips and survives, which is pretty ridiculous. But so yeah, so then, that's basically the movie. Mission complete. Hobbs is able to give him their pardons. They're able to go back home to LA and all is swell until we get to the post-credit scene where we jump back to Tokyo Drift, because technically Tokyo Drift takes place after Fast and Furious 6, leading into Furious 7. So if you want to watch this franchise in timeline order, I recommend watching Tokyo Drift before the post-credit scene. But after the movie officially ends. So it is revealed that Statham was in the silver car that crashed into Han during that race between him, Lucas Black, and DK in Tokyo Drift. Turns out that Statham is Owen Shaw's brother, and he has come back for revenge. And so this leads into Furious 7, where Deckard Shaw, who is Statham, goes on this revenge mission to take down Dom and the rest of his crew that put his brother into the hospital. So that is Fast and Furious 6. Like I said, my favorite scene is probably the tank fight on the highway. But seeing that post-credit scene blew my mind in the theater. I did not expect to see that coming. I had no idea Statham was going to be in the franchise. I didn't know we were going to get some answers from Tokyo Drift on who actually killed Han. It was wild to see that in theaters. It was really, really cool. One of the best post-credit scenes I have ever experienced in a theater, for sure. Next up, we have favorite quotes. So I jotted down a few quotes here that really stuck out to me every time I watched this. The first one is from Owen Shaw. "Show them the respect they deserve or it weakens us." This is him talking about how a bunch of street racers almost took them down on their first job. And he's like, "Hey, show them the respect. You know, they almost defeated us today. We need to be better. We need to get our shit together and be stronger. We need to outthink them. I thought that was a really powerful line from Owen Shaw and really showing you who he is. You know, he's as he say, his code is precision. He is all for completing the mission at any cost possible. This one from Roman. What does the dude planning on hunting? Moby Dick? This is when they first see him, one of the Shaw's guys using the harpoon gun, the AL-52. He's just kind of practicing and toying with it, trying to get the mechanisms right. And they're just like, they're just shocked that this dude is like shooting his harpoon out in the middle of the open. It's just really, really cool. This one from Dom. Show me how you drive. I'll tell you who you are. This is when him and Letty finish their race, and he kind of explains to her that he knows who she is. This is their saying back where they're from in LA. Show me how you drive. I'll tell you who you are. And he straight up tells her who she is by, you know, the mistakes she made during that race and how she can fix it. Another one from Owen Shaw. Every man has to have a code, mine, precision. Another one from Dom. Your brother never told you to never threaten a man's family. Really cool line there. From Tej, this is the one I opened up the episode with. They got a tank. Always sticks out to me when I think of Fast and Furious 6. Another one from Dom. Those words went out the day we were born. This is when Hobbs is explaining to him that, hey, if we let Shaw leave, words like pardon and amnesty go out with him. And then this is Dom's response. Those words went out the day we were born. I thought that was an interesting line. This one from another one from Roman. That's not a plane. That's a planet. Talking about the big plane that they take down at the end of the film. This one is Dom and Brian saying to each other, ride or die. One of the big quoted lines from the franchise for sure. This one from Letty. Wrong team, bitch. This is what she says right before she shoots the harpoon and the Gina Carano on the plane. And then the last one here is this one was apparently improvised. So Roman being speechless and Tej spitting out the beer is actually genuine. That was Ludacris and Tyrese actually responding to Dwayne Johnson improvising this moment here. And that is at the very end, where they have the barbecue. So Roman, says to Mia, better hide that baby oil. And then Dwayne responds, better hide that big ass forehead. One of the funniest moments of the movie. It's just hilarious. My favorite quote. Oh, I really like that big ass forehead line. But I'm going to probably go with, probably they got a tank. I think that's when I think of Fast and Furious 6, that's the first line that pops in my head is Tej going over the radio. The guys, they got a tank. That's one of the reasons why I opened up the episode today with, it's just that line is just, that moment is branded into my head when I think of Fast and Furious 6. But that one but Hobbs Dwayne improvising that big ass forehead line was really funny. Favorite car? It's definitely Owen Shaw's flip car. I love the design of it. I love the sound of it. I think that's a really, really awesome car. I really want one for myself. That thing is slick as hell and really, really cool. Favorite stunt? It's probably Dom flying through the air like Superman to catch Letty in midair after the tank kind of flings her up. Big slow-mo shot of the film. I remember watching it in theaters, just being blown away that Vin Diesel is going to catch her midair and crash into the car. It's ridiculous and stupid, but I'm a sucker for that slow-mo stuff. So definitely my favorite stunt there. Now the negatives. Even though I love this film, I do have some negatives about it. First off, the title. So the official title is Fast and Furious 6, but as you can tell in the film, after kind of the credits go and all that, a title card comes in and it says Furious 6. Now, that is very confusing to audiences that don't know the backstory behind this whole title thing. I think they should have went back and edited that. They should have plugged in Fast and Furious 6. That is Universal being stupid. Justin Lin has stated numerous times that the title of the film is Fast and Furious 6. They should have went in and just edited that that title card out and plugged in Fast and Furious 6, because that is just, that's really confusing when you have the Blu-ray or it's streaming on your digital library saying Fast and Furious 6. But then when you press play and the title card of Furious 6 comes on, it's just kind of awkward, kind of jarring, and it's just really, really weird. You know, they really should have just went back and agreed on a title and put that in the movie, because it's just, that's just ridiculous. Resurrecting Letty, I think, is a bit messy and lazy in this film. Actually, I think just killing off Letty in the fourth film was just a big mistake anyways. And I think they realized that during Fast 5, because everybody was wondering where Letty was. I remember when Fast and Furious 4 came out, a lot of people were kind of pissed off that they killed off Letty, because she was kind of a fan favorite. And I think that just, that whole thing was a mistake. And then them bringing her back in this one was a little lazy writing and kind of messy. And it's just, let's just give her amnesia. You know, that's kind of a cop out. You know, that was an easy way. They could have did something a little bit better, or it's just not kill her at all. It's just, I've always had issues with how they bring her back, and just overall an issue with them killing her off in the first place. Cause Michelle Rodriguez is honestly one of the best characters and best actresses in this franchise. She is now my favorite, and I think she's the best actor in this franchise ever since Paul Walker passed away. Before he passed away, Paul Walker was my favorite. I think he was the best of this franchise. I don't like the whole thing around Letty dying and then resurrecting her in this kind of lazy, messy way. It just didn't work for me. And then the last one I have is pretty much what everybody says. The runway at the end of the film is just too damn long. I looked this up somewhere, and I think they said that if this was an actual runway, it would have been like 18 miles long. There is no runway that I know of that is 18 miles long. This was ridiculous. They should have just chopped this down somehow. It's really wild that this runway is so damn long, and it just doesn't make any sense. It's just not good. They probably could have reworked this ending a little bit better. Burning questions. So this is where I was kind of trying to keep the Giselle talk to. How is actually Giselle alive in Fast X? If you've seen Fast X, if you've listened to my reaction episode on that, Giselle pops up at the end of Fast X as if she's alive. She's been working with Cypher, apparently. She's on the submarine that we see pick up Letty and Cypher in Antarctica at the end. I don't know how she's alive. We see her fly out of this car down this runway. I don't know how they're going to explain this. She honestly should be dead. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be an instance like Owen Shaw, where he's messed up in the face. He's got a broken body and all that, and she's been recovering this whole time. I don't like that this franchise keeps resurrecting people. We had that with Han and F9, which I still don't agree with. And I'll talk about that more when we get to F9. And now we have Giselle. We got to explain about in the next Fast and Furious, whenever that comes out. I don't know how she's alive here. You know, we saw her fly off of a car down this runway at 100 mile an hour. Like, she should be dead. Which brings another burning question. Like, did they just leave her body? Was there no funeral? Like, how are they going to do this? So they just left her body there and they just assume that she's dead? Or did they go back and grab her body, have a funeral, and then, yeah, she's dead. But now we get her back. It's just, this whole thing about Giselle it just doesn't work for me. Putting her at the end of Fast X was terrible. It's like what they did with Han. It's like what they did with Letty. It's just this trend of resurrecting characters because you don't know what to do. Because of lazy writing and they ran out of ideas. So they're like, let's just bring back people because people love Gal Gadot. People love Michelle Rodriguez. People love Sun Kang. It's just, this whole thing doesn't work for me. And I don't know how they're going to explain her being alive after all this. It's just, it burns my head. You know, it's a burning question. It's just, I don't know how they're going to do this. And I'm dreading, but I'm also curious on how they're going to explain this in Fast 11. So to end the episode, let's talk about the Fast and Furious rankings. So as a refresher, here is the Fast and Furious rankings. Number one is Fast 5, 2, Furious 7. 3 is where I put Fast and Furious 6. 4, The Fast and the Furious. 5 is Fast and Furious or Fast and Furious 4. 6 is Too Fast, Too Furious. 7, The Fate of the Furious. 8, Tokyo Drift. 9, Hobbs and Shaw. 10, Fast X. And then 11, Fast 9, The Fast Saga. So yeah, Fast and Furious 6 is number 3. Curious to see how Fast Furious 7 stays there, if it goes down or it goes up to the first one. We'll find out later this week when I do that episode. But yeah, Fast and Furious 6, for the longest time, was my favorite. We get the tank sequence. We get the fighting on the plane. We get a lot of character chemistry in here. A lot of character involvement. Really, really cool stunts. But after watching Fast 5 and talking about that last week, that is definitely my number one. That vault sequence with Dom and Brian and Rio at the end of the film is just unbeatable. One of the greatest action sequences of the century. Furious 7 is a very, very emotional film because of the death of Paul Walker. And I'll talk about that in depth on the next episode. But at the same time, it's still a really, really good film. They did a really great job of how they handled Paul Walker's death, and the story that they chose to do was really cool. But yeah, these top three, and then when we get to, you know, Fast and Furious 4 and then the first film, it's kind of really, really tight in ranking. I love all of them, but if I had to really get down to the bolts and bits of it, this is how I would rank it. Fast and Furious 6 did kind of a lazy job with explaining Letty's resurrection. I do think Luke Evans is probably the best villain of the franchise as Owen Shaw. So that's another one for the plus column. But yeah, it's just Fast 5 and Furious 7 are just unbeatable, with Fast and Furious 6 being a close third right behind those two. But honestly, on a given day, we can interchange these three or really the top five, because I love a lot of stuff about them, and I think they're really, really great films. When you get down to the bottom, Fate of the Furious, Tokyo Drift, Hobbs and Shaw, Fast 10, and of course F9, which I have a lot of issues with. Just bottom of the barrel for the franchise, but these top five, and then even Too Fast, Too Furious has some great moments in there with Paul Walker and Tyrese, But yeah, these top three for sure are the best of the franchise, and it just doesn't get any better from there. And I'm really, really excited about Furious 7 on the next episode. So check out these rankings on IMDb or Letterboxd. All you have to do is search for Cinemac Reviews. You can check out this list and a bunch of all the other ones I've done. I love ranking, especially franchises that I love, and I love challenging myself to rank these installments and really pick them apart, find the negatives. You know, because I'm really high on a lot of these films, but it challenges me to find the negatives in films, because I'm the type of person that likes to be an open-minded when it comes to a movie, no matter how bad it is. But I like to challenge myself to find negatives in films that I absolutely love. So check out the Fast and Furious rankings and all the other ones that I've done on Letterboxd and IMDb today. Well, that'll do it for today's Fast and Furious episode here on Cinemac Reviews. Tune in later this week for Furious 7, which is the last film that Paul Walker did before his untimely death. Also, check out new release reactions every week on the show. Next up is Gran Turismo, the latest video game to film adaptation. Until then, always remember to live life a quarter mile at a time.